hear that music, you know what time it is. WABC Talk Radio 77, this is your Saturday morning radio extravaganza. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, here with you. We've got 2 hours, and we are going to make the best of them. We're going to talk about the issues of the day, your phone calls, if you want to participate, if you want to be in the cast on this extravaganza. Here's the phone number. You can reach us at 800-848-WABC, 848-9222. So much in the news. Tomorrow is Easter. For those of you who are celebrating Easter, happy Easter. It's amazing. I've wondered since I was a child, how did it come to be that we celebrate the high holy days of Christianity and of Judaism within the same period most years, very, very close together. And Passover, of course, celebrating the escape of the Jewish people from slavery, from bondage, with the Egyptians, and Easter, the escape of mankind over death. And so for those of you celebrating, happy Easter. For those of you who are celebrating and who have celebrated Passover, we hope it was enjoyable for you. Major League Baseball is the number one story in the country right now. The commissioner of Major League Baseball has said, Rob Manfred, has said that in response to Georgia enacting laws to protect the, well, this is not what he said. He said that because Georgia enacted laws that he and the rest of the liberals out there think are restrictive because they listen to the mainstream media and don't bother to do the checks themselves on what the law actually says, that they're going to pull the All-Star game from Atlanta this year. Delta Airlines and Coca-Cola are woke. They have decided to jump in and criticize Republicans for enacting a law. So you know what we're going to do today? We're going to look at the law. My business associate and dear friend Lisa Cathy helped me go deep, deep into this law and find out. We found out the answer to the question that puzzled me last week. What's with the water? Of course, you know, Democrats were saying Republicans are so mean, they're so awful, they're so evil that they don't even want to let people standing on long lines have water. It's a lie. So the president, well, our former president, Donald Trump, has also weighed in. And he is saying that in response to Major League Baseball moving the All-Star game out of Georgia, that it's time to boycott Major League Baseball. Now, I don't know whether you agree that boycotts are a good idea or not. Please feel free to weigh in. Weigh in with any of this. 800-848-WABC is the number for you to join the cast today. Express your views on it. This law in Georgia is a response to what happened during the last election cycle. Republicans and most people in the country looked at what was happening in Georgia real time. Something's not right here. And so the Republican Party, the Republicans who control the state legislature in Georgia, did what legislatures are supposed to do. They addressed what they perceived as a problem. What the Republicans, when you look into the law, SB 202, the Senate Bill 202, which was signed into law. If you look at it, it addresses accountability, uniformity, And it clarifies what the rules are. It addresses the quote-unquote pandemic response that Democrats set up, which was to put unchecked drop boxes wherever they wanted to take ballots which did not have identification requirements on them. This bill also, this Senate bill that was signed into law, that Delta Airlines, that Coca-Cola, that Major League Baseball are all upset about, addresses the problem of electors being intimidated. This is a good thing. It has solutions to reduce duplicate ballots. It has solutions in the bill to reduce long lines, which plague certain communities. If I were liberal, I'd say, which plague communities of color. Because no one else has color, you know, just communities of color. When you get back to looking at what's inside this law, it addresses the types of IDs that can be used for sending in your absentee ballots. Now, this is important because the liberal media, without question, frames this bill and frames this law as a restriction to voting. The ID requirements do not restrict voting. They allow citizens that don't have, let's say, a driver's license to use the Republicans. Allow citizens who do not have a driver's license to use an oath of citizenship, to use the last four digits of their social security number and their date of birth, and sign the oath. It addresses and creates a fair process for opening up absentee ballots and checking them. These are not restrictions. Let us be very clear about that. What is happening in Georgia is not what Joe Biden says it is. He calls it Jim Crow, which is a reference to his party, the party of Jim Crow, the Democrat Party. It is not a return to Jim Crow. It is not a restriction. Now, Vox had a piece earlier in the week claiming that what the Republicans are doing is removing the law from the state boards, the boards that have been set up, the election boards, and returning that power to the legislature. And somehow that's wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, the Constitution of the United States never set up local election boards. It said election laws would be determined by the state governments, meaning the state legislatures. So if Republicans have decided that the process in place in Georgia using these state election boards is not a valid process, they have an obligation and a right to bring that power back into the legislature where the Constitution vested it in the first place. This is not a restriction. It is a clarification of voting rules. Let's talk about water. Because the Democrats made a really big deal out of this. So did Joe Biden. And even I had questions. Look, why wouldn't you want to give water to people online? That doesn't make sense. What the bill does is say, with these lines, you can set up self-service watering or beverage centers or whatever you need so that people can do it themselves. What you can't do is electioneer And everybody that votes knows this. If you go to a voting booth, you can't show up with T-shirts, with certain kind of messages in an election booth. You can't approach the people voting and try to give them something to induce a vote. That's electioneering. And so what the Republicans have done is said, okay, listen, if these long lines that plague Democrat neighborhoods, because Democrats like people of color to stand in long lines for some reason, hey, we can set up stations along these lines where people can grab some water or get something. But you can't have people electioneering to people. You can't have, let's put it plainly, you can't have Democrats walking their long lines, intimidating and trying to make sure that everyone in line votes for their party. That's all this is. They did not restrict people in long lines from being refreshed. It's nonsense to say that they did. James Golden, WABC Talk Radio 77. We'll be back with your calls and with a whole lot more today, right after this. James Golden, a.k.a. Those Nerdly, WABC Talk Radio 77. You know, I turned over the music production on the show to our producer, Justin Ellick. Now, for me to turn over music to somebody, I mean, this guy is amazing. And so thank you, Justin. Thank you, Rob, taking your calls. And for all of you on our cast of Radio Extravaganza here on WABC Talk Radio 77 Saturday morning, we'll be taking your calls very shortly. I just want to point out, before we do, that the governor in Georgia, Governor Kemp, has ripped Major League Baseball a new one. He wants to know why the headquarters for Coca-Cola and Delta Airlines are in New York. New York's voting laws, he says, are far more restrictive than Georgia's. And he's calling Major League Baseball out for their hypocrisy in not abandoning New York, where he says the voting laws are much tougher. We'll be speaking later on with one of the most prolific and insightful journalists in the country today, Molly Hemingway of The Federalist, and she's going to weigh in on this with us and also weigh in on woke companies. Later on in the program, we'll be speaking with domestic policy advisor Diana Mee on Joe Biden's plan for infrastructure. And we'll be speaking very shortly with former congressman and dean at Liberty University, Dave Bratt, who's doing something completely amazing there that I wanted to make sure you knew about. I have some questions for you, too. Questions. Here's one. And if you want to respond to it, please feel free to join us at 800-848-WABC. Who was the base of the Republican Party? Who is the base? That's a question. If you'd like to take an answer, a stab at that question, who is the base? By the way, John Boehner has written a book that is critical John Boehner has written a book that's critical of the Republican Party. John Boehner. Yes. Okay. Let's get to the phones. Jay from Astoria. Welcome. Talk Radio 77 WABC. James Golden with you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Golden. Excellent show. And I just wanted to say, many years ago, baseball changed all-star balloting because they didn't like the way it went. I think it was a year that Cincinnati, the fans there voted all of their half their team on the all-star team. They changed the voting. They took it away from the fans. They saw something broke, they tried to fix it. Now they're trying to tell us that the Republicans are trying to fix the broken voting system. I really think it's time that we all start to unite and do what they do, pick a company and boycott it. It's unfortunate, but it seems like we have to hit back the bully.
Well, that's an interesting concept. I'd like to see what other people weigh in with that. Boycotts are nothing new. I tend to try to resist boycotting if I can. But there have been several things in my life that I just said, okay, I'm done. I'm not going to use that product anymore. I'm really disappointed in Delta Airlines. I fly Delta. I have over 1 million miles with Delta. I'm a black guy, Delta. By the way, you know, Delta and Coca-Cola have only 2 black people on their board of directors. So here you are, Delta Airlines, you know, you go into Atlanta where, you know, you got millions and millions of black people, many of them doing extremely well, by the way. And you see the Fly Delta thing there. And yes, Delta does have some very aggressive policies toward making sure that they do inclusive hiring. Let's be fair to Delta. And they try to advance people of color. Through the system at Delta. But only 2 black people on the board of directors? I wonder if any of them are conservative. Same with Coke. With Coca-Cola. How many black conservatives out there drink Coca-Cola? How many black people in America drink Coca-Cola? You have 2 black people on the board of directors, that's it? Couldn't find any more? And yet you're sitting here believing this Democrat Party drivel? And is clearly political drivel in the frame up of this bill. The governance at Coke and Delta should be ashamed of themselves. And you woke executives who just want to bring your progressive policies into the boardroom, you should remember some of your consumers, half of this country or more, are Republicans. So if you want to say that half of your customer base, you hate them, that you think they're evil, that you think they're racist, that you think they're bigots, if that's your intent, we hear you loud and clear, Delta. We hear you loud and clear, Coca-Cola. We hear you loud and clear, Major League Baseball. Once again, if you actually look at what is in the Georgia law, it expands the way that identification can be used to make sure that the person who says they are voting is the person that is voting and they are legal to vote. It does not restrict the right to vote. It expands it. When you look into the law and stop believing what you hear from Democrats and from their allies in the mainstream media. If you look in the law in Georgia, it addresses, it doesn't restrict the way that absentee ballots are dealt with. It brings the power back to the legislature for election processes, and that is exactly what the Constitution of the United States calls for. It shortens runoff periods because it makes sense to do so. And it addressed the pandemic responses, these drop boxes that were left all over town where people can harvest ballots, some of them questionable. This law in Georgia does not restrict voting. The larger question that needs to be asked is why the Democrat Party uses black people this way. Why do they look at black people as their pawns that they can use to get whatever they want? In the case of voting, if they want to have these election laws that are just ridiculously loose, They don't use white voters to get them. They use black voters. They don't use Asian voters to get them. They use their black voters. They complain. Well, you know, black people don't have identification. Oh, so let's deal with that. Black people don't fly air. Yeah, they fly. And they need identification to get on an airline. If you want to buy booze and you're of a certain age, you have to have an identification. If you want to collect your welfare benefits, you need identification. And by the way, I'm not saying that black people are collecting welfare. I'm just saying if you deal with government services, you need an identification. If you do many things in the private sector, you need an identification. So please stop telling us that black people are inferior and they are not capable of producing identification, because that's all you're saying. Black people are inferior. We can't expect those inferior black people to have identification. It's bogus, it's BS, and it's racist. And this needs to stop. Using black people to obtain these political wins on the part of Democrats that are fraught with racism has to stop. James Golden, WABC. When we get back, Congressman Dave Pratt, and then more of your calls. We'll be right back. James Golden, WABC. New York City, the crown jewel of American radio, in the number one city in the world. New York, it's cold in New York City today. However, it's supposed to warm up. WABC Talk Radio 77, like to bring on one of my dear friends, Congressman, well, former Congressman, now Dean of Economics at Liberty University, Dave Bratt. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, James. Great to be on. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. I want you to, I have given no one any hints of what you're doing. I want you to tell this audience and inform this audience, and from there, hopefully, it's going to pick up among other news organizations what you are doing at Liberty University.
Yeah, well, great. Well, thanks for giving me a chance to share. I mean, we train champions for Christ every day, but we got a super special event coming up. I worked at the World Bank 30 years ago, went to seminary, and then did a PhD in economic growth, and I always have had a special place in my heart for Africa. And so we're going to have a summit called Equity for Africa, Transforming the World Through Judeo-Christian Business Principles. And at first, I was just going to try to get a few heads of state or leaders from Africa and then some CEOs and kick off a summit to make some connections and, you know, bring in some connectors. We have, there's a piece of legislation written by Ted Yoho called the Build Act, which provides $70 billion. With a B for economic development, kind of 80-20 split, you know, private, public, mainly private investment. And so that was the initial idea, was to bring friends together from Africa and the U.S. and guide some direct investment firms looking for opportunities in Africa to place firms and capital over in Africa. And since then, it's just blown up. And so, you know, we have Secretary of State Pompeo coming in to kick off the dinner on the opening night. And then now two full days of panels, 12 countries coming in. And we've got, you know, connectors from the World Bank, USAID, OPIC, Congress, et cetera, all coming. And then about 30, 40 CEOs, major CEOs that do, you know, all the key sectors Africa's looking for, minerals, mining, transportation, infrastructure, communications, technology, water, agriculture, food, et cetera. And so the promise is that we're not going to, you know, get the deal done that day, but we're promising to build friendships that'll last a lifetime with our friends in Africa. And if they need to share opportunities in certain sectors, we will find people in the U.S. that are expert in those sectors and connect them going forward. And we intend to get capital flowing to Africa, capital results in economic growth, and economic growth results in increased human welfare for the poorest of the poor. And so that's our mission at Liberty, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
And I am so proud of you for making that happen. When does the summit begin, Dave?
Yeah, it's April 13. The evening kicks off with the Secretary Pompeo talk, and then all day April 14 and 15. And it's booked. We don't have any room. If you're a head of state from Africa, feel free to reach out. We'll make room, but it's fully booked, fully closed now.
And you have several heads of states from African nations, as well as some of the wealthiest individuals on that continent that will be participating.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. We got kicking it off with a virtual video. Most people are coming in person, but President Joyce Banda, the first woman president in Africa, is going to be with us, and just one heavy hitter after the other, and she opens up, you know, welcoming everyone in the name of our Lord this Easter weekend, and so just very powerful testimony. And she worked across the board challenges with education and then women's equality rights and small business stuff. She did it all personally, and then after she cracked through the barriers, she became president, implemented policies affecting all three of those, and significantly improved her country by doing so. And so, yeah, no, it's just phenomenal stories, and we're making friends. I've just been shocked at how many CEOs also are want to help out.
Well, Dave, this is just an amazing thing that you've done here. It's an amazing thing that Liberty University is doing. And I wish you the best with it. I wanted to let people know what Dave Bratt, what Liberty University are doing. Dave, we're going to talk further. I want you back after I've had time to read the book that former Speaker of the House, Boehner, wrote about Republicans. I want to read it first.
Good.
And then I want to have you back to talk about it, all right?
Anytime. And, hey, we're going to be live streaming that Africa event. So just go to Liberty University Business page on those days, and you'll see the link. You can click on it, watch the whole thing from home.
Repeat that one more time. Give people the dates and where they can get the streaming.
Yep, April 14 and 15. Just go to the Liberty University Business School webpage, and we'll have a link sitting right there for you. You can live stream, share it with young people you know, share the hope for Africa. China's getting rich the wrong way. We need to help Africa do it the right way.
That's right. Dave Bratt, thank you so much, my friend.
Bless you. Happy Easter, James.
Happy Easter, Dave. WABC with James Golden. We're going to resume with your telephone calls. Let's go to Carolyn in New York City. Carolyn, welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77. James Golden, a.k.a. Snerdly, with you this morning. Carolyn, are you there? Well, Carolyn is gone. Let's try Bob. Bob from Queens, New York City. Hey, Bob.
Yes, hi, good morning. So I understand from what you said about 10, 12 minutes ago that the laws of New York City are much more difficult in terms of voter voting than they are in Georgia, correct?
Yes, that is what the governor of Georgia is saying, yes.
All right, so you personally and the governor of Georgia wouldn't have any problem if the laws of New York City were extended with the same laws that they have in Georgia. Would that be the case?
I would have to look at it before I would answer that question, but theoretically. Look, what are you really trying to get at here, Bob? Stop trying to sneak around and just bring it out in the open. What's your point?
You can't make a statement unless you are sure of what you're saying.
Oh, really? Sure, Bob, are you sure that the laws in Georgia are not as restrictive? Are you sure about that? Have you read the laws in Georgia?
I've seen what the law.
Have you read the law in Georgia, the new law? Yes or no?
I haven't.
Have you read the law in Georgia? Yes or no, Bob?
All I have heard is what I've heard on your
show. Oh, all you've heard. So, in other words, you're calling me to chastise me, and I've actually read the law, and I've read the news stories, and you haven't. But yet you feel it's okay to call here and say, well, you know, you shouldn't be giving this information. Well, Bob, thank you so much for educating us. Yeah. Thank you, Bob. Have a wonderful day, my friend. Love you. Take care. Thanks for calling. Carolyn is back. Hello, Carolyn. Welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77. James Golden, a.k.a. Snerdly.
Good morning, Mr. Snagley.
Good morning, Carolyn.
I was just calling because before November 3rd, 2020 in Georgia, Stacey Abrams and Mr. Ratzenberger changed the law in Georgia. And so all that Mr. Kemp did was go, and they did it without the state legislature. So they did went like an end around against the legislature to change the laws. So all Mr. Kemp was doing was getting the law back to the way it was before, after November 3rd, 2020.
Wait a minute, Carolyn. We have to check with Bob from Queens and see whether that's accurate because, you know, he's the expert on election law. So what you're saying, Carolyn, is that Stacey Abrams ushered through, and we know she did, changes to Georgia's election law because, by the way, the Republicans went along with her when she did that because they didn't want to appear to be going against Stacey. So the Republican legislature has now corrected things. That's your point, correct?
Correct.
Well, what do you think about Delta and Coke and some of these other woke companies now saying that this is, terrible, and they're going to and Major League Baseball pulling out? What do you think about all that, Carolyn?
Well, I just think it's disgusting. One of the problems I really think is that nobody really comes out to communicate the problem in a specific area. Like, Mr. Kemp should have come out and made a statement saying that what was done before November 3rd, 2020 was not legal because the state legislature makes laws. So Stacey Abrams and Mr. Ratzenberger, is he the Secretary of State, I think? He's not even supposed to be involved in the legislature, in the voting laws.
Well, they've corrected that. And see, this is what has happened across, and thank you so much for your call, Carolyn. Look, this is what has happened in so many aspects of American government. Laws that were, rather, powers that were vested with the legislature were then delegated to non-accountable bureaucrats. And what is happening in Georgia right now is the Georgia legislature is taking that power back. And in some case, by the way, elected bureaucrats, like on election board, supervisors of elections and so forth. But if you go back and follow all the way through to the Constitution, there's no mention of that. The power resides in the state legislature, and they can constitutionally and legally do what is being done in Georgia. Let's go to Pam in Patterson. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning. Boycotts are a legal, peaceful way to make a point, and already the boycott with Coca-Cola is working because I've spoken to vendors and distributors, and they're angry with their parent company because they can see sales dropping. It makes a point, and they insulted half of the country. Well, you know what? They don't want our business. They don't want our business.
There's always Pepsi, huh?
Yeah. Well, in my case, I would say RC Cola.
Oh, RC Cola. Okay. All right, Pam. I love your point. Thank you for calling WABC Talk Radio 77. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, with you on our Saturday morning radio extravaganza. Yes, I'll be here next week. And I hope you will, too. James Golden, WABC Talk Radio 77, the crown jewel of American radio in the number one city in the world, beautiful New York City. We'll be right back. Just really earth, wind, and fire. This is from the Spirit album. James Golden with you here, WABC Talk Radio 77, New York City, the crown jewel of American radio. I am glad to be back home here in New York. We're going to go right to the phones. KC in Detroit, thank you for calling WABC Talk Radio 77 with James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly.
Hey, James, when are you going to fix those Knicks? Hey, but that's not what I'm calling for. That's not what I'm calling for. Hey, I love the show.
Thank you.
Listen, I received three unsolicited ballots in the mail, and I live here in Detroit, and I mean, pretty much downtown. And on my way to work, they had a drop box. I never used those ballots, okay? But they had this unsecure drop box outside not a convention center, but a community center. In the heart of it, and I'm not saying it's a black neighborhood because Detroit is like 80% black.
Well, so I mean, it's 80% people of color.
Okay. Oh, you're right. And you know what? And I don't have a problem with that because most of my friends are of color.
Yeah, so, people of color.
So I didn't vote those. So I didn't mail in those ballots because I went in person. And I was 17th in line, and the lady's like, oh, let me see your identification.
Did you get water?
No, I didn't. I went early, so I didn't have to stay in the line.
All right.
So I said to her, I go, I don't have to show you identification. If I sent in my mail-in ballot, you wouldn't know who I am. And so we went back and forth for a couple minutes, and I had the idea in my pocket because I knew I had to show it. And she goes, oh, it's too early for this. And we kind of laughed. We kind of laughed about it. And I said, here's my ID. And I had no problem doing it. But let me tell you something. Everybody that I know, you know, they smoke, they drink. They all have ID because I ask them, you got ID? Yeah, of course we do. So the whole thing, and I don't know how 84 million people voted for Biden. Because if you look at Joe Biden the other day, what was there, 10 people in chairs? You know, and you never see the crowd. They never show you the crowd at a Biden.
Well, event. I don't even want to go there because that part's done. It's now histoire. I'm looking into the future. He's going to be in the he's going to be occupying his position until, of course, whether the good Lord steps in or until the next election and voters step in. So what you're saying, though, is very important. If you show up in person, you have to show ID in many places. But if you drop however many ballots in these drop-off ballot boxes that are put wherever Democrats or other people want to put them, then it's okay. No ID, no check. And this is what people in the legislature in Georgia is addressing. This is about election integrity. Thanks for your call from Motown, from Detroit. Let's quickly head to Miami, Florida, with Scott. Scott, welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77.
Good morning, Mr. Snerdley. Thank you for taking my call. Happy Easter to you. Happy Easter to all your listeners in America. You know, this Easter will be brutal for America, Mr. Snerdley, because God hates America. And what do I mean by that? He's had it with abortion. Since Roe versus Wade was enacted into law in 1973, tens of millions of innocent and helpless babies have been mercilessly and ruthlessly slaughtered. God hates America because America has condoned and glorified homosexual and lesbian marriage.
Okay, can we now have the end of this? First of all, anything that starts with God hates, I'm not into. God is love, my friend. God is not about hate. Hate is a human frailty. Let's not pin hate on God. And I'm not about trying to demean people because of their sexuality. And I think most of the country has kind of moved on from that, Scott. Get a life. You know? And by the way, that's not to say that if people think something is immoral because of their religious beliefs, they don't have a right to believe that. I am a firm believer in religious freedom. But I'm saying expressing hatred toward people. That's not what James is about. It's not what Bo Snerdley is about. It's not what America is about. We have the freedom in America of religion. We have the freedom to love. And if you think that Easter is about hatred, you are wrong, my friend. Easter is about the most incredible example of love that was ever shown to humanity. So let's not bring hate into that picture, okay? Time for one more call. Let's go to Forest Hills and Jane, Forest Hills, New York. Hi, Jane. Welcome to WABC.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you for welcoming me. Thank you so much for your program and taking my call. This is my first time calling. I got brave. I want to just say this whole thing shocks me terribly, that a business can do these kinds of things to sort of take a city hostage like this and make this terrible decision, because really it affects the people of Georgia. It means a lot of people won't have jobs for different things now. And I don't understand this point about the ID. Everybody has ID. In New York, where I am, you have, if you get an absentee ballot, you initially have to show your ID. They match your signature. They make sure you are who you are. And I don't see what's so terrible about that. Don't we want our elections to be truthful and not fraudulent? That otherwise anybody could take a ballot, and that's what I'm afraid of, actually, in New York, too, because recently we had the ranked voting thing for a particular city council. There were 8 candidates, but one of them was a real extreme group, you know, totally defund the police, totally anti-Semitic, with propaganda, with a baby that was had a bullet coming out of its body saying,
goodness.
This is Israel's gift to the world.
Ugh.
Terrible, terrible propaganda, which scared me terribly. And I was afraid that that person might win the election. Well, they didn't. However, if you had this kind of ballot stuffing, who's to stop them from getting, you know, hundreds and hundreds of friends or people they know to just send in any old thing and say, I'm voting for this party. And it could be any party, the XYZ Ku Klux Klan or, you know, some other terrible type of group. You have to protect. It's not only necessarily a Democratic that will, you know, stuff the ballot. It could be anybody.
That's right.
And we get this. And I feel like they're giving our country away. What are they doing this
time? The liberals are out to destroy America as you know it because they want the power to rebuild it as they want it, which is more in line with a socialist supposed utopia. Jane, I want to address something you said, which was about IDs and why do they do it? They do it because identification is an emotionally charged issue, especially for black folks, right? When you went back and the post slavery days, many black people didn't have identification. And so older black Americans who came up, let's say, who were born in the 20s, in the 1920s, and those people now are in their 90s. Some people in that age group don't have identification. And it is a small number. But my question to Democrats is, they've been talking about this ID problem for almost 15 years now as a way to inflame people's emotions. And so black people in Georgia, black people in America, people of color everywhere, people of color everywhere. I have a very simple question for you. If you are a person of color and you are people of color and you don't have ID, why haven't your Democrat elected officials, the people that run your neighborhood, the people you vote for, your fellow people of color who are in elected positions, why haven't they made sure that you have ID yet? It's been 15 years. How long does it take to get identification? We can get ID for illegal immigrants quick because they can get driver's licenses and have a form of ID. So why can't people of color have identification? Think about that. People who cross our borders illegally can get a legal identification in many blue cities, cities run by Democrats. Why can't people of color have identification? What is wrong with Democrats that they won't allow their own voters to get identification? James Golden, 77 WABC New York, the crown jewel of American radio here in the greatest city in the world, New York City. We'll be back for hour two of our Saturday morning radio extravaganza. Don't go anywhere. James Golden, aka Bo Snerdly, here with you on WABC. WABC Talk Radio 77. We have a full hour to go, and we are going to take advantage of that hour. I want to start this hour by revisiting a news story, something that happened on Monday. Sports, again. The sportswear giant, Nike, filed a federal infringement suit against the design firm that made, or rather altered, sneakers for the rapper Lil Nas X. I didn't know who Lil Nas X was, and I guess if you're not up on hip-hop culture, you might not know who Lil Nas X is. But Lil Nas, and his design firm released a pair of Satan shoes. They released 666 pairs of Satan shoes, which prompted the lawsuit. Each one of the shoes, which are modified Nike sneakers with the Nike logo still on them, each one of these Satan shoes, the 666 pair of Satan shoes, has a drop of human blood embedded in the heel. The release of the Satan shoes by Lil Nas X, coincides with the release of his new single and music video, in which Lil Nas X is seduced out of the Garden of Eden, lands up in hell, where he gives Satan a lap dance. You following me with this? The corporate types over at Nike, to me, seem a little bit disgruntled. They did file the suit. They don't like the idea that this rapper and his design company took their Nike Air Max sneakers, put pentagrams and religious references on them about Satan's fall from heaven, then added human blood into their sneaker and called it the Satan shoes. The 600, by the way, 666, the number of pairs of the Satan shoes that were released, they sold out in one day. 1,000 $18 a pair. 666 Satan shoes sold for over $1,000 a pair. The number that they charged, 1,018, also has a religious reference to it. So a few things. To me, I'm not a lawyer. Don't pretend to be one. But I don't know how this isn't a case of trade infringement. It seems to me that if things go as I would expect they would go, and again, I'm not a lawyer, I don't know, that Nike has a good chance of prevailing. How do you take their product and turn it into a Satan shoe and market it as a Satan shoe with their logo still on it? I don't know. I don't get that. But Nike's management has a right to be angry. Not only has their Max Air sneakers, have they been turned into a high-dollar Satan shoe, the Nike marketing department didn't think about this first. Now, after this whole debacle, and it got a lot of attention, Lil Nas X, you might have to try to find some way to redeem your image after this diabolical association with Satan and with Nike. So here's a thought. before you perform in public next, at your concert, the next concert you do, make sure that before the concert starts, they play the national anthem. And then, little Nads, you take a knee. Showing your venom for America should bring the guys at Nike around to like you again. They'll kiss your behind, give you a contract, maybe. All will be forgiven. And you won't even have to spill a drop of human blood to make that happen. James Golden with you here, WABC Talk Radio 77. As I mentioned before, we've got some great guests coming up. Molly Hemingway, one of the most outstanding journalists of our generation, will be joining us. We're going to talk about woke corporations and what's going on with Major League Baseball and what else is in the news. Domestic policy advisor Diana Mee will also join us this hour. We're going to talk infrastructure. I want to go through, before we go back to your telephone calls, though, a little bit more news. In Vermont, the governor there opened up COVID vaccinations to those people who identify as Black, Indigenous, or persons of color. So, and this is a Republican governor. So first in line, if you're in Vermont, put it like this. White folks in Vermont have to get to the back of the bus and sit there and wait to get vaccinated because in Vermont, liberal Vermont, home of Bernie Sanders, vaccinations are being given along racial preference lines, and white folks are last. Which coincides with a story that we learned last week from Oakland, where the mayor there has, and Oakland, the legislature there, the municipality there, has decided to grant, to give people of color $500 a month. No questions asked. If you're a person of color and you live in Oakland, California, $500 a month is yours free for nothing because you are a person of color. White people and other people not considered of color, you might pay for it, but you're not going to get any of the money. This is insanity on parade, people. If this were being done and just reverse any of the color schemes in these plots, and let's say Black people are told, well, nope, you're going to get vaccinations last. We're going to give vaccinations to white people first. There would be an uproar. If Black people were told, hey, you're white, you're going to get $500, everybody else gets nothing. There would be an uproar. This is ridiculous. The government is supposed to be colorblind. All citizens get treated equally. That used to be the dream. Remember Dr. King, I have a dream? He didn't dream that his children would stand first in line for COVID vaccinations or first in line for state-sponsored welfare. He dreamed that his children and all Americans would be treated fairly and equally by the government and by their fellow citizens. There was an attack in Washington, D.C., as you know. A young attacker, ran his car into two policemen. There were fatalities. The Capitol attack in MSNBC reported, which was Friday, MSNBC reported it was a white male. It was not. Capitol Police were injured. And the fatality was the suspect, Noah Green, 25-year-old black guy, who's been identified as a follower of Louis Farrakhan, slammed his sedan into two police officers near Capitol North's barricade, the entrance where Congress people and their aides come and go. Again, erroneously reported as a white guy by MSNBC. Actually, turns out to be a follower of the Nation of Islam. BizPack Review reported that earlier today, as did Fox News. BizPack Review also tells us that Hunter Biden admits his infamous laptop, the infamous laptop that was the subject of news reporting from the conservative right and totally ignored by the mainstream media, could be his. No coverage. Matt Gaetz, as you know, trouble. He's not. He says he's not going to resign. There are allegations against him that he has engaged in some nefarious activity with possible sex trafficking, et cetera, et cetera. He, of course, says that this is false. The FBI is conducting a report. Nancy Pelosi, I saw earlier, has saying that if it's true, he should step down. Well, we know, Nancy Pelosi, that the allegations against Swalwell were true, and you haven't called for him to step down. In fact, you've left him on his intelligence committee. So what does that say about your calls over Congressman Gaetz? We'll see how that transpires. James Golden with you here. 77 WABC New York, the crown jewel of American radio, and we will be right back. James Golden. Talk Radio 77, WABC. MJ brings us back in. We have Molly Hemingway on the line. Molly is, in my estimation, one of the best journalists, most incredible journalists in American society today. If you read Molly on a regular basis, you will find incredibly well-researched news. She digs out the facts of a story. It's not, this is what I think. It's here's the information. Molly, thank you for joining us on WABC Talk Radio 77.
Well, it's wonderful to be here with you, and thank you.
Molly, what is going on with these woke companies like Delta, in your view, Delta and Atlanta, and this entire Major League Baseball reaction to the voting laws that have been, well, the voting bill that was signed into law in Georgia?
It is, on the one hand, very shocking and awful to watch these corporations try to bully the legislatures of states where they do business. It's also kind of reminiscent of something we saw increasing during the Obama era, where the Democrat Party and other liberals were using corporations to advance their political agenda. And they know they can put a lot of pressure on corporations. They can threaten them. They can lobby their employees who are more liberal. And as a lot of these corporations themselves have been taken over by people on the left, it's just a very effective political tool to increase the power that the Democrat Party has and push its agenda by using corporations to bully the people of a state. And we are, I think, at a crisis point now where people have to decide what they're going to do about it and whether they're going to let these corporations harm the country. I mean, right now you have corporations actually saying they don't want to have election integrity. That's a threat to the republic. That is a huge problem. It's an issue they shouldn't really be involved in anyway. But if they're going to be taking a side, they're taking the wrong side, and it can harm the country. And so I think people need to think about how they're going to respond.
People have already begun, and former President Trump has called for a boycott, as you know, of both Delta and Coke. Do you think, in your opinion, and I'm asking you your opinion, and so differentiate that from reporting. You do have opinions, and I find them fascinating. In your opinion, do you think that this woke movement is going to grow, or do you think that maybe if a boycott of Delta and Coke are successful, there will be enough attention that other corporate leaders will take a look at this and say, I don't know whether this is the path we should put our business on?
I think more needs to be done than just a boycott, but obviously a boycott is sort of the bare minimum here. If they have no incentive to stop doing what they're doing and all of their incentives are aligned with doing whatever the left wants, these corporations are going to continue doing whatever the left wants until it hurts them to be doing what they're doing. They're going to continue and get worse, and it's going to spread. Also, I think there's something to be said. If you're not willing to boycott your sports ball team or your soda, even when they threaten the country, you're not really much of a person or a citizen anyway. And I say that, by the way, as a formerly huge baseball fan. I was a lifelong Cardinals fan. I actually wrote them a letter this year before the season began saying, you know, I checked out last year because of the politics, and if you do it again this year, I'm out for good. And it was hard for me because I love few things as much as I love the St. Louis Cardinals, or I loved few things as much as I loved them. But I can't sit by and watch them say you shouldn't have basic minimum ballot security. I mean, that's absurd to think that I would let them do something like that without responding. So I think more needs to be done in terms of conservative leaders need to speak more thoughtfully against what's happening. There needs to be legislation against what's happening. There needs to be a removal of all of the protections that government has provided these corporations. But a boycott seems like a good start, yeah.
Well, you know, by the way, I'm a huge Dallas Cowboy fan. I had one team since I was 5 years old until 2 years ago, and that was the Dallas Cowboys. One, monogamous, with a football team all my life. And 2 years ago, I think was the last time I watched a Dallas Cowboy game. Tired of the politics. And this has spread throughout not just corporate life, but entertainers, celebrityism. There used to be kind of a rule that people understood that their customers come from all walks of life, and the thing that you don't want to do is offend the customer. Now it seems that corporations are okay with saying we only want certain customers. Do you get a sense that that is a feeling that's prevalent in most of the boardrooms in the country?
I think that like every other institution, the people who run these corporations are increasingly out of touch with average Americans. I remember, you know, years ago, I think it was Michael Jordan who said Republicans buy sneakers too, or, you know, some basketball.
Right. It was. You're right.
And it's just a basic thing. You think, well, we don't want to offend our bottom line, so we are going to not do things that gratuitously offend people. But now I think so much of the business is based in China, so much of the growth is in China, that Republicans don't matter as much as working with the left on their policy goals and making sure that things continue to be good with China. And so it's not principled. I mean, obviously, if you really genuinely cared about democracy and voting, then you wouldn't oppose basic voting integrity, first of all. But you also would have nothing to do with China, where you don't have early voting. You don't have voter ID laws. You just don't have voting, period.
Right.
It's a communist country. So it's not like these people care about these issues and care about the human rights abuses in China, for instance.
So I have one other question to ask you, and I don't mean to sucker punch you. I didn't mention this to you that I was going to ask. Boehner has a book. Have you... And supposedly, Boehner's book is critical of Republicans. Are you hearing any buzz about this?
Well, he had an excerpt of his book in Politico yesterday, and I was pleasantly surprised at the reaction that everybody had to it. his excerpt said it was everybody else's fault, whatever happened with the Republican Party, not his, even though he was one of the prominent leaders of the party who mismanaged the whole Tea Party movement, which is where the Republican Party got this gift from the gods, the electoral gods, of a massive populist uprising in defense of the U.S. Constitution. Like, that doesn't happen very often, but the Republicans didn't know what to do with it. He was one of the people who didn't know what to do with it. He says the real problem wasn't him and his cluelessness and his inability to take his majorities and affect positive change. It's that all these other people were disappointed with him for not affecting change. But the general reaction I saw from thoughtful people in Washington, D.C. was a heavy amount of eye rolling, even as the media loved what John Boehner was saying about how awful his Republican compatriots were.
Molly Hemingway, thank you for joining us again. Folks, if you don't know who Molly Hemingway is, Google her. Read her articles. This is one of America's finest journalists. Thank you for joining us, Molly.
Thank you, James. Bye.
WABC Talk Radio 77. We'll be right back with your calls right after this. James Golden, WABC Talk Radio 77. Justin is rocking the music in there. I love this song. You know, I asked a friend of mine, a good friend of mine I was having a political discussion with. Rather, I told him that, you know, we conservatives, we're the base of the Republican Party. Now, this friend of mine, Jonathan, I don't have permission to use his last name. He is, he's very well-heeled. He and his wife, beautiful couple, dear friends of mine. And he, I guess, would be considered to be part of the donor class, maybe. But he said something to me that blew my mind. When I said that to him, he looked at me, he said, I'm the base too. I've been a Republican longer than you have. Longer. And you know what? He made me think and made me rethink something. And that's why earlier in the program, I asked, well, who is the Republican base? And I've come up with a conclusion about that. I'm not going to answer it today. But in the future, if you'd like to take a stab at that, who is the Republican base? Maybe we can. Meanwhile, let's head back to the phones. Let's go to Gail in Westchester County, New York. Gail, welcome. WABC Talk Radio 77.
Good morning. I wish I could do a Dave Chappelle moment, I mean, but it's not funny. I feel as if we've gone into some type of, I don't know, all of this stuff cannot be really happening and be serious. I mean, it's just crazy, all of these events that have gone on, and there are really some people still walking around not even aware of it.
Well, what events are you talking about in particular?
The United States.
Yes.
But I mean, it's just, it's crazy that the world leaders are probably just sitting back waiting for the opportune time to really impact us. We have a baseball player making $350 million a year. We have little Nas doing these crazy sneakers. We have the election just totally. What is going on? I really feel like I want to shake my head and wake up.
You are seeing a major transition in America. But I'm going to remind you and remind the audience of something I said last week. America is still a very young country. Our days in the future will be better than today. If you look at societies across Europe, if you look to China, if you look all along the Pacific Rim, you'll see countries and in some case civilizations that have existed long before America came into being. America came into being and surpassed every single nation in the world in a very short period of time. We're going through a tough patch in America. But don't you doubt this. If we, those of us who love this country, stay engaged, we will ensure that America will have a bright and better future. It requires us to stay engaged and not give up, even during these desperate moments. Let's go to Richard, Northern New Jersey. Hi, Richard.
Hello, James. It's such a joy to hear you again on the radio.
Oh, thank you.
I listened to you back in the 90s you were on, and you were a breath of fresh air back then, and you are again. And I hope WABC is going to keep you on and make you a regular host. You know, we know that you worked for Rush Limbaugh, and Rush Limbaugh was a very bright guy and a tremendous insight, and somebody who would pick James Golden to be with him. He knew what he was doing, and you're a good man. God bless.
God bless you, Richard. Happy Easter. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Let's go to Joe, Astoria, Queens. Hello, Joe.
No, my name is Jeremiah.
I'm sorry, Jeremiah. My bad. I'm good. How are you, Jeremiah?
Okay, I'm fine. You said something that was pretty interesting. It says that this country is supposedly a colorblind society. This society would never, never be a colorblind society. And you said something interesting, something about how America, let's say America, became the greatest nation in the world. It became the greatest nation in the world after a major war, World War II. During World War II, during the 40s and 50s, 1950s, every nation other than the United States was devastated. Every European country was devastated. Japan was devastated. The United States didn't have any competition. That's why America is the greatest country. And as far as
Joe, let's have a conversation about that for a moment, okay? That is not why America is the greatest country. The fact that America was founded on certain principles and with certain freedoms allowed us to prevail in World War II. It's not the other way around. And let's go. And America was also a great nation before World War II. We were the influencing power in World War I. Our revolution was World War Zero. That was it. Also, a world war. America's strength began with the rise of the Industrial Revolution as an industrial nation. But our real strength is what is in our founding documents. That we allow freedom and liberty to be spread across the world where it didn't exist. And that is America's strength, my friend. Let me address something else you said. I didn't say that America is a colorblind society. I said that the government should be colorblind. And that's what the task is. I am hopeful that one day America will be a colorblind nation, as I believe the worth of mankind depends on all of us learning how to be colorblind. This is James Golden, WABC Talk Radio 77. When we get back, domestic policy advisor Diana Mee and I will talk infrastructure. Stay with us. WABC in New York, James Golden with you, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly. WABC, the crown jewel of American radio here in America's number one city, New York City. And anybody that doubts that New York will not come back, guess again. New York is, always was, and always will be the number one city in the world. We are pleased to bring on, we, the royal we, my domestic policy advisor, Diana Mee. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning. And royalty is the right word for you. It's great to hear you on the radio.
You're so kind. Thank you. Look, Joe Biden, infrastructure. What is going on here? How many trillion dollars is this they want to spend on the infrastructure program?
$2.2 trillion. And I just have to say to James, is there a more boring word than infrastructure in the English language? I think the Democrat Party focus grouped that word, and the one word that puts people in a coma is infrastructure. And I think that's by design. I think that this is beneath the radar, all of this stuff. No one actually follows the money in the media. Like no one follows what happens to the kids, the unaccompanied minors coming over the border. Mm-hmm. No one follows what happens to them. There's this huge distribution of people. And similarly, there's this huge Democrat distribution of money that no one actually follows. If you remember when the first Porculus came on, that Obama afterwards said, oh, I guess the jobs weren't all that shovel ready, ha, 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 because the money never got there. 6% of this particular bill goes to roads and bridges. So there's really
wait a minute. Hold, Wait a minute. An infrastructure bill, and how much goes to roads and bridges?
Newsweek is reporting only 6% of this $2.2 trillion actually goes to roads and bridges. The rest of it is Democrat wish list. This is a, I mean, they're calling it a once in a lifetime money sluice. It's really once a month for Joe Biden. This is the kind of money he seems to be putting into the system regularly.
Well, I saw some of the things. They want $40 billion for public housing projects. So I guess they're going to build new ghettos. They want to improve the electric grid somehow. They don't say how. They want to upgrade child care facilities in high needs areas. What do you think that means?
Well, all of it is Democrat places of, you know, Amtrak.
Oh, Joe Biden's favorite pet peeve, yes. And I saw that they want to put...
Do you know what the care sector is?
No, what is that?
I don't know. I think it's basically assisted living facilities.
Oh, how is that infrastructure?
It isn't. Well, I think if you call it Democrat Party cash structure, then you know what we're talking about.
Okay, they want to upgrade and build public schools. How is that infrastructure? $100 billion.
This is all going to Democrat pockets. That's what this is.
Expand high-speed broadband, $100 billion. Didn't the Gore tax, wasn't the tax that Al Gore imposed on the nation supposed to do that decades ago?
James, they pull out this same list every time they want to spend money because it sounds good to people. The money never gets to any of these places. Never has, never will. It's all for show.
Well, that's the infrastructure. Oh. Thank you. Domestic Policy Advisor Diana Mee, thank you for returning with me, James Golden, here on WABC. Pleasure to hear your voice again on the air.
Anytime.
Thank you. Let's go back to the telephones. Ken, Hudson County, New Jersey. Welcome. WABC Talk Radio 77. Quick reminder, Larry Kudlow comes on right after this show. So you've got another 10 minutes of me, and then Larry Kudlow steps in. Ken, welcome. WABC Talk Radio 77 with James Golden.
Hi. I'm a Republican. I voted Republican, registered Republican, and I hear Republican conservative commentators talk about, warn us against socialism.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats, you know, want to make us socialist, and, you know, they're warning us about socialism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I look at the economy, a good chunk of our economy depends on socialist programs.
Like what?
Medicare is a socialist program.
Mm-hmm.
Social Security is a socialist program.
Mm-hmm.
Unemployment insurance is a socialist program.
Mm-hmm.
These are all socialist programs. So, maybe you can clarify this.
I'd be happy to. And thank you, and stay there, Ken, because you may have another question, if I can. This requires, by the way, a lot longer conversation than we can have today, but you have correctly identified three very socialist programs. And let's look at what has happened. Before Medicaid was introduced into America and Medicare, the cost of medicine and health care was manageable for most families. You remember those days, I'm sure. The doctor would come to your house. He'd stick the thermometer up, who's he, where's he? He'd leave and then say, here's how much it cost. You pull up your wallet, you pay the bill, and go on. Even hospitalizations were somewhat affordable, and there was, quote-unquote, private catastrophic insurance available for that. What has happened to the United States post-Medicare and Medicaid, where the government picks up the bill? Health care costs have exploded to the point that no one can afford health care anymore without some sort of program. That is the result of the socialist program, not the socialist program's influence in America. Now let's look at unemployment. Unemployment, the people that are the workers, to use the socialist term, pay into it. That's part of what your paycheck is. So in a sense, that's not truly a socialist program. But when you look at what Democrats have done to it, which is turn it into a welfare program where you can just stay on it endlessly and endlessly and endlessly, well, then it does become somewhat of a socialist program. I don't see how, and look, in a pandemic, there are a lot of people, let's face it, who would be on their behinds if it weren't for those checks coming in. But is it healthy for the American economy? That's a different topic. Social Security. Most Americans don't even know where Social Security came from. The idea started with Bismarck in Germany. This was not an idea that was an American idea, and it was meant to placate the masses. Now, we can argue back and forth about Social Security, but one thing is undeniable. If the money were invested privately over the course of a lifetime, recipients would have a much higher yield than what they're getting from the government-run Social Security program. Let's also face facts about it. It's broke. We don't have enough workers to sustain it. So how's that for contributing to the American economy? I thank you for the call, Ken. It's real. I hope to hear from you again. And Douglas from Ewing, New Jersey, welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77 with James Golden.
Hey, good morning. If you remember those two girls that were held captive by the guy in Ohio for 15 years, there's one that's held for 20, Danielle Sittel, S-I-T-T-E-L, on Google. In her WordPress, it says, I'm being isolated in a forced marriage.
Okay, listen, you are not talking about what you called in to talk about, so we're going to just say goodbye to you. Let's go to Lou, Brooklyn, New York. How are you?
James, it's an honor, and I certainly hope that they give you some consideration for taking over the show. I know that they're spitballing different hosts right now. Listen, the reason I called is you were talking about the infrastructure bill before, and we desperately, desperately need to overhaul and update our electric grid. It's one of those topics that's so important that no one ever talks about it. The fact that we're now about to spend $4 trillion and about 7 or 8% of it is going to go to basic to what they're saying it's going to go to is disastrous. If we don't, it would be one thing if the entire $2 trillion just went to overhauling the grid and then the rest of it went to roads and bridges. But none of it is. It's just a lip service.
So once again, this is why Diana Mee, our domestic colleague. Our domestic policy advisor called it a porculous program. That's what Rush used to call it, too. It's porculous. The spending is not being directed where it's supposed to be directed to. It's being directed into blue city governors and local government administrators' hands. And it ends up in the pockets of the Democrat Party, who then, by the way, turn it back over to make sure that their constituents – or get some of the money, in some cases, like the teachers' unions, who then donate the money right back to the Democrats to keep them in office. So, Gracie, New York City, welcome.
Hi, Bo. I turned on the radio early to get Larry, and I heard your voice, and I couldn't believe it. James, oh, I loved when you had your show, and, you know, we go back a long way.
Gracie, I'm glad you got through. Thank you. It is wonderful to be back here. WABC Talk Radio 77 is my radio home. WABC is also the crown jewel of American radio. We have time for one more call. Ernest, Pomona, welcome.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Sir, you're a very reasonable man, and you speak like a real gentleman. I certainly appreciate listening to radio that you are providing.
Well, thank you. What a wonderful compliment. And I'm going to thank you. I'm going to use that to, as we prepare to get going, to talk about something that I did last week. And maybe we'll talk about this at the end of every show, just as a reminder, if it doesn't get too boring. America is not a country that was born unified, ladies and gentlemen. America was born in disagreement. Our political system, this system of checks and balances, is a system of arguments. It is a system of those in power do not have unchecked power. It is a system that was designed for gridlock so that there would be slow and not quick changes in the political and the governmental landscape. That is what America was born. America was born in an argument with the monarchy, an argument with high taxation, an argument with the right to be free as defined, freedom defined by man, or freedom established by the Creator. This is America's birthright. This is America's DNA. Argument. Dissension. What is not America's DNA is hatred. What is not in our DNA is having an atmosphere filled with so much poison you cannot discuss or disagree with each other. This is what our charge is, my fellow Republicans, conservatives, my fellow human beings, my fellow Americans. Let's get back to being able to disagree without the venom. Let's get disagreements on the table without hatred, without anger. Let's operate from a position of love. Love is the ultimate power in the universe. This is James Golden. It's been a treat. Larry Kudlow comes up next. WABC Talk Radio 77, New York City.